You take your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. I am excited about teaching this tonight. I think it will be a help and a blessing to you. There are people in here, you're newer Christians. We have people in here that you've been saved maybe as long or maybe even longer than I have. Doesn't matter how long or how short. This will be a practical sermon for you tonight and a help and just a neat Bible study. 1 Kings chapter 18, let's look at verse number 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. Let them choose one bullock for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under, and call ye on your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. We're going to stop there for right now. Keep your Bible open. Elijah meets up with Ahab. You have to understand that this is only the second meeting face to face that Elijah and Ahab have had. The other one was 3 years before, telling him that God was bringing judgment on Israel because of how evil and vile that Ahab was and his wonderful wife Jezebel, and that God was going to shut the windows of heaven up and it wouldn't rain till he came back. Well, 3 years later of no rain, everybody's getting a little upset. We read in verse 17 that Ahab comes unto Elijah and says, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And Elijah just threw it right back at him and said, Nope, you're the problem, king, not me. You're the one that worshiped false gods. You're the one that's brought, disobeyed the commandments of God, and you're the reason for this, not me.
That's right.
Then he said, I tell you what, let's settle this once and forever. He said, You call all the people to Mount Carmel. And he said, especially you bring your 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the groves, by the way, false prophets, false religion, that sit at Jezebel's table, 850 false prophets. He said, we'll go there. And he said, I'll meet you there. So they go up to Mount Carmel, and before all the congregation of Israel and these 850 false prophets and King Ahab, he says, now look, he said, there's 450 of you false prophets of Baal. He said, how about you choose out two bulls and you cut one in pieces and put it on an altar with wood, but don't put fire under it. I'll do the same thing. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. Say, why did he have to do that? Because back in verse number 21, he said, And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal be God, follow him. He said, look, we're going to settle this once and for all, and nobody's got enough guts to stand up to the king until I showed up. So the crowd gathers, and he challenges these false prophets. Now, Elijah calls on them to go first, since there's so many of them, verses 1. They call on Baal, and in the morning hours, the Bible says, until noon, but no fire. After noontime, Elijah begins to mock. Look at verse number 27. I love this. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking or he is pursuing, or he is on the journey, and peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened." He said, "Maybe you better cry a little louder. Maybe your God's taking a walk and he can't hear you. Maybe he's chasing after somebody and you got to get his attention." He said, "Maybe he's just sleeping and you got to wake him up." Elijah begins to mock. He begins to taunt them a little bit. I love what happens here. For the next many hours, they cry louder. They begin to cut themselves with knives and different things. They begin to do all kinds of crazy things, and still no fire falls. Then the Bible says in verse number 39, or towards the end of verse 29 there, verse 30, I'm sorry. The Bible says that it became evening and it was almost time for the evening sacrifice. And Elijah said, "Okay, y'all have had this all day long and you haven't even gotten a little bit of smoke up." He said, "Tell you what, my turn." And Elijah then, the Bible says, he repaired the altar and put it in the order that God commanded in the Old Testament there. Then the Bible says he laid the wood in order. He cut the bullock up and put it in pieces in order on those stones, on the wood, on the altar. And he dug a trench around it. Then he said, "Bring 4 barrels of water." They said, "What you want the water for?" He said, "Bring the barrels of water." They brought 4 barrels of water and they poured it on top of the sacrifice. He said, "Do it again." They went and got 4 more and brought them back and poured them on there and went back and got 4 more, 12 barrels of water they poured on there. If those were 30-gallon barrels, which was pretty common back then, that's right at 350 gallons of water. That's a lot of water. Imagine pouring 350 gallons of water on your wood and then wanting to light it. Well, Elijah then, remember, they spent all day long. They spent probably in the neighborhood of 8 to 9 hours praying to their false god. Elijah gets up, he bows his head, he then looks to heaven and he prays a 63-word prayer. I did it 3 times in my office today. It takes between 25 and 30 seconds, depending on how slow and articulate you are. In less than 30 seconds, Elijah prays. He said, "God, would you please show yourself real?" And he begins to talk to God for a while. And I want you to notice something here. Look at verse number, let's see here, verse number 38. "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice." Notice the word consumed. That word consumed means it vaporized. It was gone. It just didn't fry it up. It went poof.
Yes, sir.
Watch this. "It consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones." Now, he didn't just burn up the sacrifice and the wood. He burnt up the wood, the stones, and the sacrifice and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And he even dried everything up afterwards. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." Yeah, they better have said that. Elijah then tells the children of Israel to take these 850 false prophets down to the brook called Kishon. And they take them down there and they didn't excommunicate. They executed them. They killed all 850 false prophets. Now, Elijah wanted God's people purified from bad doctrine, from evil doctrine. We'll get to it a little while later, but Exodus chapter 22, verse number 20, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 6 through 10, God set forth in the law what we were supposed to do with false prophets, and God said, you're to have them killed. The false prophets that were to enter into, that were in the Canaan land, he said, and any false prophet that enters among you, you're to get rid of them. Y'all think I'm rough. Elijah was simply obeying God and the Bible by doing what he was told to do. Now, God was about to end this drought of 3 years. He wanted no doubt that it was God who did this. He wanted no human to be able to take the credit and no false God. By the way, why do you think Elijah poured all the water on the fire before it started? Because probably had he not done that, the false prophets would have said, well, we got it started. He just fanned the flames. There was no hope of any fire before. Now, let me give you some practical thoughts, and I think I can help you tonight. Number one, Elijah publicly challenged Ahab and the false prophets. I want you to know something. He publicly challenged the political leader of the day and the false prophets of the day. He wanted all the children of Israel to hear the truth. He wanted them to see the truth. He wanted to prove to God's people that Jehovah is the real God. Can I tell you something? We need a bunch of preachers in America that have a backbone and it's not yellow and it's not jelly. Need a bunch of men of God that aren't, well, we shouldn't allow politics into our church. I agree with not having politics per se, but when somebody's a filthy liar, get up and call her what she is, Nancy Pelosi. Chucky Schumer. Andrew Cuomo. United States news media. Isn't it amazing how everybody else is guilty but him? He wanted the people to see Ahab and Jezebel are getting spiritual help from these false prophets. Notice something about the 400 prophets of the groves. When you read, you'll hear about this king did that, but they didn't take down the groves. The groves were a group of false prophets that, may I use modern terminology to describe it, they were the tree huggers. They were the green people. Let's worship nature. Nature is our God. The people that, you know, you can't cut a tree down because Spotty the owl might die. Cut the tree down. He'll find another one, I promise you. We can't dig for oil, or we can't drill for oil because some turtle might get sick one day, and we possibly could have a ground spillage sometime in the next 100 years that might cause ducks and geese to get oil on their feathers. Go hurt us. Do you know how many geese that they're trying to get rid of in my neighborhood because of what they're doing in people's backyards? Trust me. Brother Josh Bandy was telling me he just got done power washing his house. And the next morning got up and the geese came across and did the whole front of his house. By the time he got home from work, they came back and got the back end of his house. Got both sides of his house the day after he got done. He said, I'm going to kill them all. I said, hey, let's go for it, man. I said, I got plenty of shotgun shells. I know where they're at. Wait a minute. These prophets of the grove, I want you to notice something about it. They ate at Jezebel's table every day. That was who she ate with every day. Imagine eating lunch with AOC and Ilhan Omar and the others. That's the kind of people that Jezebel was hanging around. And Bernie Sanders. You got to understand something. These were not good people. Elijah knew God was going to send rain soon. God had already said, go tell Ahab the rain is on its way. But God, he wanted God to get the credit for the rain coming, not Ahab. Not Ahab's false prophets. By the way, he wanted to show where the blame was at for the famine. Not only was there a solution coming, but the people were going to look around and say, guess who there is to blame? Kind of like people are starting to do right now. Isn't it amazing how the president's popularity, even with amongst the liberal news people, are starting to fall? They're starting to say, well, the honeymoon's over. He's not as popular as we thought he was. Well, he wasn't to begin with. And he won't remember if he was or wasn't, so it doesn't matter. so many things that should not be said. Elijah was not afraid to expose wrongness spiritually of the political leaders. Now, listen to this. Listen to this statement. I want to help you. He did not hide the evil. He brought it into the public view, but number one, he didn't make it a personal attack. Nowhere in here did Elijah say to God, now God, make sure you destroy Ahab and let everybody know it's Ahab's fault. You don't see Elijah attacking him personally. Some of you may not like this next statement. I've had preachers call me and say, I want you to pray for God to kill this person. I say, you're an idiot, and hang up on him. I'm not praying for God to kill anybody. I don't care how evil they are. I had one call me back and say, why'd you hang up for me? I said, how about you get right with God and pray they get saved? Said, instead of praying for them to die and go to hell, how about you pray that they'd get saved and change their way? That's more scriptural. Everybody doing okay? Elijah just said, God, prove yourself as being God. I don't care who the oppression comes from. Just show everybody how real and how powerful you are. As you know, our church has had a little opportunity with the county government around here. None of it has been personal attack, though. I believe it's a system influenced by the devil, but I don't never took it personally. Matter of fact, people that oppose me down there actually kind of like me. If I went down there, most all of them would greet me kindly, and I them. Now, we differ on how things should be, but it's never been a personal attack. Does everybody understand that? One of the biggest oppressors to this place, he and I get along. Now, he's a bit like Barney Fife, but he's just not real smart. And it's okay. I just need him to be honest with me. That's what I told him all along. Just be honest with me. Don't jerk my chain 6-8 times and then tell me we can't do it. Let's just start with you can't do that and figure out how we can do that. If you just do that, I'd be happy. But don't lead me down this path for 6 months, changing something once every month, costing me money each time, and then say, well, it would have never worked anywhere way because it's not code. Oh, now we got a problem. Now, he didn't do it as a personal attack. It's just him not being organized and real bright. Elijah was not afraid to expose things, but not making it a personal attack. I will name names not as a personal attack, but as a philosophical or a mental picture. For instance, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, AOC. Sometimes the president himself. I am not disrespecting them. But you need to understand those people are not there to help you. Amen. Somebody's got to expose them. Right. Somebody's got to tell you the truth. By the way, when I get up and preach against the Pope or the Methodist pastor that preaches that you get saved by getting baptized and being good, you say, well, I don't think you ought to do that, preacher. Then don't do it, but I will. Joel Osteen. Or as I call him, Joe Holstein. You get these Charles Stanley, James Dobson, and Hocus Pocus on the Family. His $30 million complex in Colorado Springs, over $25 million of it was paid for by the Catholic Church. Driven right by it, seen it. The Southern Baptists of today that don't even believe in the Word of God. The leader of the Southern Baptist Convention does not believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God and believes that hell is just a vacuum full of demons. Nobody ever goes there. When you die, you just die. Is it a wonder that over 56,000 Southern Baptist churches never had one baptism last year? That's their leader. He and the other leaders of the Southern Baptist Convention will not come out against the critical race theory. Said they're not going to take a stance on it publicly. Pussyfooter. Get a backbone. Critical race theory is this: racism. That's all it is. Everybody doing okay? I don't care who it is. I don't care if they got Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, or agnostic attached to their name. Doesn't give a flip if it's bad doctrine. It's bad doctrine. End of discussion. I got to hurry before I get a bad attitude. Number two, Elijah mocks the idol worshipers. I want you to notice something here. Look at verse number 27. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. Ooh, he made fun of. He was making fun of their methods and their religion. Why? Because it didn't work. Elijah wanted the people to see how ridiculous false religion can be. Let me ask you a question. Can that wash sin away? So if it came out of that bottle, it can't wash away sin. Then how come if you get dunked in that pool, it can? It can't. Just because somebody said some hocus pocus words over it and sprinkles it on your forehead as a baby doesn't guarantee you heaven. You see how ridiculous it is? Well, it's holy water. You can't put a hole in water. I don't care how much you pray over it, it's still water. Everybody doing all right? Just like lighting candles isn't going to get your relatives out of hell or purgatory any faster. Good night, if that's the case. In the old days, nobody ever went to purgatory because everybody had candles because that's all there was. And they didn't have to pay $20 a piece for them. Can I tell you something? We have to understand how ridiculous some of the false religion is of today. Let me ask you a question. How can a baby being sprinkled on the forehead or poured water over his forehead, how could that guarantee him going to heaven? What a farce. It's an absolute farce. The Bible says that they broke down the altar. Look at verse 30. And Elijah came unto all the people, come near to me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Who broke it down? The false prophets did. By the way, when you start seeing a church break down their altars and start putting rock bands on instead, you have trouble. When people start performing at church rather than letting God work through the music at church, you're breaking down the altars. I love good music. Our definition of good music might be different. I believe in spiritual, holy, godly music. Guess what? It's not a performance. I want you practiced. Yes, I do. But do you have to be perfect to be in music here? Nope. If that's the case, we need a new music director because he's not perfect. You'd need a new pastor because I'm not perfect. None of us are. It's not a performance factor. Everybody doing okay? When church becomes a performance, we have broken down the altar. Do you know what the purpose of music is? Purpose of music is to focus on the preaching of the Word of God. If you notice, our first songs are a little faster than the song right before the message. Say, why is that? Getting everybody focused on what's about to happen right here. They digressively go a little bit slower each song into the service by design. That doesn't just, Shazam, it happened that way, huh? No. And everything is to be focused on the preaching of the Word of God and to get you ready for what's going to happen from behind the piece of wood and let God speak to you. And that response back and forth and us singing, I love to hear this church sing. There's probably churches that sing prettier, but none that sing any better.
Right.
Everybody doing okay? Pretty doesn't mean it's good. There's a lot of pretty faces in divorce court. Notice something else. They cut themselves. There is a big movement in today's world, especially of young people, that they want to cut themselves to relieve pressure. They're taught if they cut themselves and bleed that it'll relieve pressure. No, it's an act of Satanism. It's false doctrine.
Yes, sir.
Young people, you don't fix problems in your life by cutting yourself. It doesn't happen that way. I don't care how many people have told you that. They're lying right from the pit of hell.
Amen.
I can't tell you how many people I have counseled about it. It's unbelievable. False religion, listen to this. I love this. False religion is all about your sacrifice to get God, your own God's blessing. Christianity is all about God's sacrifice for us. See, false religion was they had to sacrifice for themselves to merit for their God. God said, you're a sinner. You can't sacrifice yourself. I'll send my own son. He'll be the sacrifice. All you have to do is accept him. You know, you don't sacrifice anything to be a Christian. Brother Mike, the only thing you gave up to be a Christian was drugs and drinking. Boy, what an exchange that was. I don't hear anybody that got saved out of that life that ever says, boy, wished I had that back again.
Right.
Yeah, buddy. Now, wait a minute. Christianity is about accepting God's sacrifice, not earning it by your own sacrifice. See, false religion says do it yourself. Go to the church this many times a week. Go to confession. Buy candles. Do this. Do that. All this you have to do. You got to pray through the rosary and you got to pray through Mary and you got to get God's attention. And this is all about how sincere you are. Gag. My Bible says whosoever will may come. Elijah wanted the people of Israel to see how silly false religion really is. If you really look at religion today, it's pretty ridiculous. Pretty goofy. Huh. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For our God is not the God, or God is not the author of confusion." 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 40 says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Notice something about what happened here. They broke the altar down. They cut themselves. They were screaming. They were crying aloud. And they had total and utter confusion. By the way, the more unorganized and the more confusing in a church service it is, the less likely it's to be the Holy Spirit. People getting up and jibber-jabbering in tongues and flopping on the floor and smacking each other in the head saying, be healed, is confusion. Ernest Angley was not a faith healer. Oral Roberts wasn't a faith healer. If Oral Roberts was a faith healer, why'd he have a multi-million dollar hospital?
Amen.
Hello, people. You know, we don't have time to turn there, but Matthew chapter 7, verses 15, verses 21 through 23 talk about, he said, beware of false prophets. Then he said, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name done many wonderful works. And he said, depart from me, accursed, into everlasting darkness. He said, look, there's a lot of religious people out of there that are going to die and go to hell because they were false prophets. They were propagating your own personal sacrifice instead of accepting God's sacrifice. And that's exactly what Elijah was talking about here. Number three, and I must hurry. Elijah shows how powerful God is. Look at verse number 31. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, pour it on the burnt offering. Verse 34 says they did it the second and the third time, till the water, verse 35, ran and filled up the ditch that was all the way around. Now, look at me if you will. Elijah builds the altar according to the specifications that God made for an altar back in the book of Exodus. He built it the way God said he wanted it. Remember, the false prophets broke it down. I still believe people ought to use the altar. I still believe that it fits everybody's needs. I believe it's a place where people ought to use on a regular basis. You say, why, preacher? Because you have to humble yourself to do it. That's why in most churches they won't even give an altar call. The average church in America today does not even give an altar call. Shoot, we've had more people saved by accident around this place than most people have saved on purpose. It's amazing. You say, why? Because we'll do it in order, the way God said. Notice he put the wood, verse 33, in order. God said there was a specific way to put the wood on the altar for the sacrifice to go on top. They didn't just chuck a bunch of wood up there and say, here you go, y'all. No, there was a certain order in order for the wood and the sacrifice to be burnt. By the way, he cut the bullock in the pieces and put it in order upon that wood. That's what 1 Corinthians 14:33 and 14:40 talk about. God is not the author of confusion. Let all things be done decently and in order. Every church service, we have order. Every church service, for the last almost 9 years, we've had one of these. It's called an order of service. I know in advance what song's going to be sung, what page number it is, who's playing the offering, who's doing the specials. I know everything about it. It's planned in advance. It's put down. It's on paper, and it's going to happen that way. It's done in junior church the very same way. Yes, it is. You say, why? We have an order of service for Sunday school. Since we've revamped things, there's an order of service in Sunday school. Now, we've given each teacher the liberty to move it around slightly, but there are certain things that have to be done in that Sunday school service. Say, why is that? Because things ought to be done decently and in order. May I say this? Religion is confusing. The religious world is very confusing. You have to go through all these steps and personal things that you got to do. You got to, do the sign of the cross. Spectacles, keys, where's my cigarettes? One of those things, you just don't know what's going on and which way it goes. And if you do it one way, you're Orthodox. You do it the other way, you're something else. And if you don't know what you're doing, you're as confused as everybody else. The thought of even praying through Mary. Well, she's the mother of God. No, she's not. Mary's not the mother of God. Well, Jesus is God, right? But may I tell you something? Jesus was alive before there ever was a Mary.
Amen.
Matter of fact, when the angel came to Mary, she said, "Blessed art thou among women." Did you know that when the angel came to Deborah in the book of Judges, the prophet, the prophetess, the judge of Israel, the angel came to her and said, "Blessed art thou above women." So Deborah ought to be higher, not my wife, ought to be higher than Mary in the spectrum of importance. And is that not true? Well, she's the queen of heaven. Did you know that term queen of heaven is mentioned twice, and both times it's about a false prophetess?
Yes.
Be careful calling Mary the mother, the queen of heaven. Lighting candles, paying money for the priest. The fact that you, well, I learned this recently. In the last year or two, the purpose of a confessional for you to say your sins to your priest is so that you pay him and he takes those sins and those sins become his sins and you get rid of them. The purpose of confession is for you to give them up and he takes them on his account, but he's so holy he won't have to pay for them in hell. You talk about blasphemy. That's about as blasphemous as it gets. He's putting himself in the place of Jesus Christ himself. And when the Pope says he speaks ex cathedra in the place of God, that ought to scare everybody.
Amen.
Speaking in tongues. Folks, I've seen God do some amazing things, but unintelligent languages don't come out of the mouth. Well, it's just a bunch of, I don't care what you say. It's confusing and it's goofy and it's weird. I've been around some of those people. Everything's about how you feel. Holy Spirit and the feelings never go together. Holy Spirit works off of truth, not feeling. Elijah ordered up 12 barrels of water to soak the wood and the sacrifice to prove that there was no coals from the false prophets before him. I really believe, that's my own personal belief. Can't show you in the Bible where it says that. But I could see in our society today, them spending all day and then him just rearranging things, putting the sacrifice up there and calling fire down from heaven. And they say, well, we got it started. We didn't do it long enough. Sound like a Democrat. You pour 12 barrels of water on it, they can't claim victory, no matter what. Elijah prays 63 words. Look at verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. That's all he prayed. He didn't get up and, oh God of Jehoshaphat and Jeroboam and Rehoboam, the other Boam boys and all the other fat fellas, the God of the Gittites and the mosquito bites and Tish bites and everybody else that got bit. Didn't get up and say all these flowery words. He said, God, I want you to prove that you're God to these people. They're your people. If you'll do it, they'll come back to you. And if you'll just prove yourself to be God, will you just do this for us? 63 words. Less than 30 seconds. And what happened? Look at verse number 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. I looked up recently to melt stone or to burn stone up takes heat at almost 4,000 degrees. Now, folks, that's hotter than you want to be around. lead starts melting much before then. Steel only gets about 2,300, 2,700 degrees. Sometimes you can get it up about 3,000. You got to get about 4,000 degrees before rock melts. Not just melt, but evaporate. I've only ever seen one thing evaporate my whole life, and it scared the bejeebers out of me. Between my freshman and sophomore years of college, I went back home. The only time I went back home after I went to college to live, and I was working part-time for a man in our church that had a moving business. Dad, you'll remember this. We had to move a rectifier into Ohio Power down near Bolivar, Dover, New Philly area. It's a box about twice the size of a refrigerator. And we had to go through this door and kind of go down a ramp. And there was a room about the size of our auditorium. But it had 7-foot doors, not 8-foot doors. And this thing was about 6'8" high. And there was this double metal band going all the way around the room. And this room was filled from floor to ceiling, everywhere you could go in there, with wet cell batteries connected to that metal bar. There must have been 2,000 batteries in that room or more. And the guy said, whatever you do, don't touch that with metal or anything else. I said, why? I'm 19 years old. I'm inquisitive. He said, you really want to know? I said, yeah. He said, stand back. So we stood back in back corner of the room. He grabbed a wrench. He said, watch this. He hit that thing, and it went kapow, exploded, and it was gone. There was no shrapnel. It just vaporized. I'm thinking, I got to move a metal box underneath that thing that weighs about 450 pounds. And there's three of us. I said, you got any rubber mats? He said, what for? I said, it's going on top of that thing. He said, that's a good idea. I said, trust me, it's a good idea. I hate electricity. You wonder why I hate electricity? That's one reason. That's the only thing I've ever seen in life that just was and then was not. Just, and it was gone. I don't know how much electricity that was, but it's a whole lot more than I wanted to find out. God said that's kind of what happens here. The fire fell. It consumed the sacrifice, the meat and the bone. The wood was gone. The rocks were gone. The dust on top of the ground was gone. And it licked up all the water in the trench. Now, folks, that's a hot fire. It's a good thing God's a good aim. Amen. I hope everybody was taking notice. Can I tell you something? Then what happened? I love this. Verse number 39. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slew them there. Now watch this. The people got to see that Jehovah is the only true God. Can I tell you something? Elijah and Ahab weren't very happy that their spiritual advisors had been killed and shown up. They weren't real happy with it. But guess what? Let God be God. Doesn't matter what the politicians say. Let God be God. Doesn't matter what the false religionists say. Let God be God. Thank God for a man named Elijah. We'll study a little bit more next week. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I'm not going to belabor. But I wonder, are you letting God be God in your life? Maybe you get a little mad at the preacher when he calls names or says certain things, but just remember, America is in need of this because of the false doctrines and false religions in our world today.